I want to ask three questions through the course of the service this morning regarding the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first question is this: why did Christ suffer? Why did Christ suffer? Was it really necessary for him to suffer in the way that he did? Firstly, I'd say to us that suffering is inevitable and unavoidable in a fallen world. We understand that, each one of us, because we live in the same world that Jesus Christ lived in when he took on flesh. He became part of this universe. He lowered himself down from the heights of perfect heaven to the depths of a depraved world. And on this earth, he received the external consequences of the fall upon himself, because this creation is cursed. And so we know that suffering in this life can be the result of sin, which is one's own. It can be the result of the sins of others. It can be part of the general effect of God's curse upon this fallen world, where injustice and suffering and death abound. But Christ did not suffer for his own sins, for he had none. He suffered only for the sins and because of the sins of others. Christ suffered because he was perfectly godly, and the godly suffer more than the ungodly in a fallen world. The world's response to holiness is hostility, as it was for Christ and as it still is today. The chief priests, the elders of the people, plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and to kill him. And he fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Christ suffered because of his mission, which was to seek and to save the lost. When he came to this earth, he came not to be served as the great king that he is, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He exchanged the perfect love of God that he had known from before the foundation of the world for this world of hostility and struggle. And he did it for people like you and me. Later on, we're going to sing something of the depth of the love of God in these words: "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." Why did Jesus Christ suffer? He suffered for sinners like you and me. Made poor that we might be made rich. Naked that we might be clothed. Hungry that we might be fed. Thirsty that we might have water springing up to eternal life. He suffered so that you and I, who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, would not suffer in eternity, in the life to come. He suffered through being born of poor parents. He suffered by being misunderstood, misquoted, and finally betrayed. He suffered spiritually and physically, as we see very clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane. Pilate had him scourged, had him flogged, whipped with leather thongs, which would have had bits of metal or bone embedded in them, so they would have torn his flesh. He was mocked by the soldiers of the governor in the praetorium, stripped and clothed in royal purple by way of mockery, a crown of thorns placed on his head, a reed as a scepter, a symbol of royal authority, mockingly put in his hand. And they feigned homage to him, "Hail, King of the Jews," spat on him and beat him on the head. He was dishonored, humiliated, and utterly emptied himself of all of the rights and privileges as the highest of the high, God himself. Why did Jesus suffer? Because he entered a fallen world and became part of it. He was perfectly righteous and hated because of that. He suffered because his mission, you see, could not have been completed apart from suffering. And he suffered the agonies of hell on the cross as the only way, brothers and sisters, to spare you and I from suffering that torment and pain. So the second question that I'd like to put before us this morning is, why was Christ crucified? Why was Christ crucified? Was that really necessary? Couldn't he have been quickly and painlessly beheaded like John the Baptist? Or perhaps suffered a slower death by stoning, as the Jews in Jerusalem had attempted to do when he confirmed his own deity with the words, "I and the Father are one"? Being stoned to death can be prolonged and painful, but not as brutal as crucifixion. A form of execution so traumatic that it was illegal to kill Roman citizens by this agonizing method. The reason is that Jesus was crucified because he was accursed by God. Because he was accursed by God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, "He who is hanged is accursed by God." Hanging in the Old Testament times was not a form of execution, but something done to the body of a criminal after death on the same day. The dead body was visibly exposed to insult and injury and to shame. The corpse hanging there was an ugly spectacle, a fearsome reminder to the world. Symbolically being suspended between heaven and earth, indicating the forsakenness and abandonment by both, indicating that the person was worthy neither of the world nor of heaven. Galatians 3:13 we read, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus was crucified because he was cursed by God. And that curse was not a curse that he deserved. It was the curse that should come upon people like you and me. Soon we're going to sing these words. Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon you? Alas, my treason, Jesus hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I who denied thee, I crucified thee. See, it's God's curse against you and I as sinners that resulted in Christ being accursed on the cross. Forsaken by God and man, utterly alone. Isaiah prophesied so accurately, didn't he, as he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." Jesus Christ was cast out on the presence of God that you and I who trust in him might be welcomed and received. He was cursed, brothers and sisters, so that we would be blessed. Is the question, why did Jesus die? Why did Christ die? Could Jesus not have suffered on the shameful cross but not actually have died? Wouldn't the loss of consciousness, as in a faint, be sufficient? Different answers have been given to this question over history as to why Christ had to die. The Church Father Origen suggested that Satan had made a deal with God to give over sinners that were in his power in exchange for the life of God's own Son. That's actually portrayed in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Abelard, in church history, suggested that Christ's death was a demonstration of God's love for man, and that people being moved by sympathy for what God had done would come to faith. Others have suggested that his death was an example that we should forgive the wrong that is done to us without requiring satisfaction. Others that it was a token gesture to show how seriously God looks at sin. But the truth is, Jesus died to satisfy the perfect justice of God. He turned away or turned aside the righteous wrath of God against sin. Isaiah again prophesies and speaks the truth. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Jesus had to die because God cannot, in his righteousness and justice, overlook sin. Guilt has made man a debtor to the law, a debt of death which must be paid. And man cannot pay that debt and live. And so the death of Christ in substitution for the death of sinners like you and me pays that price, removes the wrath of God which would righteously fall on us, and fully satisfies the perfect justice of the Lord. Jesus Christ died that we might become alive. John writes, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This is Good Friday. We remember the ultimate good that Christ Jesus has done for people like you and me by suffering as the perfect God-man, by becoming accursed by God, and by dying in the place of the guilty, again, people like you and me, so that we might enjoy forever the abiding, enduring, enfolding, perfect love of God. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Many of us here this morning know these truths. We believe these truths. Our lives are founded upon these truths. And that's a testimony to the power of the cross. It's possible that there are some here, one here maybe this morning, who doesn't trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a day to turn to him. What we're speaking about here is not myth, it's history. It's the work of God in this world. And the time is coming when God will bring all to judgment, and the wrath of God will fall righteously on all those who have not found shelter in Christ, have not found life in him. So today is the day of salvation. I would encourage you to take the opportunity while you have breath today to come to Christ in repentance and faith. You see, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was a symbol of great shame, a place of great suffering, but also his crucifixion, an event of great power, as he was raised from the dead, having been buried.